Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our risen Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And may His Spirit open up our hearts and our minds to His Word. Amen. The text for today is the scripture reading as found on the back of your bulletin in the book of Jonah. Dear friends in Christ, have you ever run away from something you should do that God would want you to do? For example, have you ever convinced yourself or excused yourself from talking maybe to a friend who is doing something wrong? And you know they're wrong and you should say something, but you don't because you're afraid they might get upset or dislike you. Or maybe you have sinned against them and you should go to them and tell them that you have sinned against them and you want their forgiveness. But you convince yourself to do nothing would be okay. Or maybe it's to somebody you don't particularly like and you know they have no relationship with Jesus Christ at all, but you come in contact with them frequently. And you know that God wants you to share the message of hope and salvation with them. But you just don't do it. You go the other way. Well, in our text today, we hear about a man called Jonah. God said to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and to tell that city I'm going to destroy it in 40 days. Well, Nineveh was of the Gentile nations. Jonah was an Israelite, one of God's chosen people through whom the promised Messiah would come. And Israelites and the Gentiles did not particularly like each other. You might say Jonah was asked to go into an area like ISIS, where his life could even be put in danger, and tell them their city is going to be destroyed. Well, there's a lot of reasons why he might think of why he shouldn't go, but it's particularly because he did not think that they were worthy of being saved. And so instead of listening to God's message, he went the opposite direction. He got on a ship and he was going to sail out of the territory, hoping to avoid that whole situation. But as all of you who have probably read the story know what happened, a terrible storm came and the sailors were wondering why, and they figured out is God was upset about something. And Jonah said, it's me. He says, throw me into the water. And they finally did, and a big fish swallowed him. For 3 days he was in the belly of that fish, and then it vomited him up on the shores. And God came to him a second time and said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and tell them that in 40 days I'm going to destroy them. Well, Jonah went, but he was not one happy camper about going. He still didn't want to go. But he went. And he walked through the city, and it took him 3 days. And as he went into the city, he proclaimed that the end was going to come for these people. And guess what? We're told Nineveh believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. In the book of Jonah, we read, when Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued to Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, and let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from His fierce anger so that we shall not perish. The king knew that the people were doing wrong. They worshiped false gods. But they believed the message of Jonah. They repented and they turned to God for His grace and mercy. And they received it. On one hand, Jonah was kind of afraid that this would happen if he spoke the word of the Lord. But he personally did not believe that they deserved to hear the message or to be saved. As you read Jonah, you find out that he went up on a high place and he was looking over the city, waiting for God to wipe these people out. But it got pretty hot where he was, and God caused this plant to grow and gave him some shade. And God did that for a reason. He wanted to teach Jonah a lesson. And Jonah was comforted by that shade. God was merciful to him and gracious to him. He didn't deserve that. And then God, just as quickly as he caused that plant to grow, overnight he caused it to die. And Jonah began to complain about that. And God pointed out to him that he, in essence, was a merciful God. He was merciful to Jonah. Jonah didn't deserve that shade. The people in Nineveh didn't deserve God's love and forgiveness, for they had sinned, but so had Jonah. And God wanted Jonah to know that he was a gracious and a merciful and a forgiving God. There's other things that we learn from what happened to Jonah. Again, Jonah was afraid that they might believe. He had been sent to send a message. As we read the gospel reading, why did Jesus choose all of the disciples? He wanted them to be prepared to go out and to share the message after his resurrection. A message that would bring hope to people who are lost in sin, destined for eternal damnation. He wanted the message to get out. He has also called each of us to get the message out. But again, we so often are like Jonah, we go the opposite direction. You know, we think, well, that's what we call a pastor for. That's what we have the evangelism committee for. It's their job to go and tell other people about Jesus, about God's love for them, but also to confront people with sin. But really, it's all of our jobs. Because your pastor will never meet all of your friends or the people you know. You are there. You are God's child. You are his witness. And too often, what do? We go the other way. We're afraid maybe to say something to them because they might dislike us. Or we might even have in our mind, well, what's the good of saying something to somebody like that? They don't care about the Lord and they are so bad and they do so many bad things. It would not do any good. I'm sure that Jonah wondered as he wandered through the city from time to time, what good is all of this to walk through this city and cry out this message? When Jesus came into this world, he came for a purpose. It's that he might bring hope to people who live in the darkness of sin and are lost, and that's all of us. He became one of us and put himself under the law that you and I could not keep, and he kept it in every way. And then, even though he helped people and showed them love and compassion, he was hated. He was despised. He was scorned. He was beaten, falsely tried, and nailed to a cross. And he let it all happen. He didn't have to. But he let it all happen because he saw you and he saw me. He saw all the people of the world. And he wanted to give us a hope that would ascertain that when this life is over, we would forever live in the glories of heaven. So Jesus paid the debt of our sin. He was forsaken. He was separated, if you would, from God. As he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was taking our debt and paying the price. He died. The wages of sin. But praise God, he rose victoriously from the grave. And then, A number of days later, he gathered the disciples together, and right before he ascended to heaven, he says, go preach forgiveness, repentance and forgiveness of sins. Go make disciples. That's the business of his church. That's the business of all of us. To make disciples, to get the message out. We often maybe express the attitude that it won't do any good with some people. Well, Jonah may have thought it wouldn't do any good, but he was wrong. From Jonah, we learned that even though he was a reluctant messenger, the messenger does not change the hearts and the lives of people. God's message does. Jonah was only a messenger who was going to the city, and he didn't even have his heart in wanting to save them. But God did. He was just the messenger, as each of us are. And he was sent to proclaim a message that would bring hope to the people of Nineveh. And God will use his children as messengers, even if we have a bad attitude about doing it. We also learn that God's message can and does change people. When we think about Peter on Pentecost Sunday, after the resurrection of Jesus, and he had ascended into heaven, and all this group of people gathered before him, and he proclaimed God's word, as Jonah did. Jonah proclaimed the law. You're going to be destroyed. Peter said to him, you killed the Lord of life. And their hearts were convicted of their sin. Peter didn't convict them of that sin. It was the Holy Spirit working through the message. And 3,000 came to faith that day and were baptized into Christ. But when you stop to think about it, it had to be an awesome thing to think that the whole city of Nineveh, and it possibly, I understand, had close to 100,000 people, and that every one of them repented. They put on sackcloth, a sign of repentance, asking God for His mercy and His grace. They didn't deserve it. Jonah didn't deserve mercy and grace, and we don't deserve it. But God is a loving and a merciful and a gracious God. And He wants us to know of that love and that forgiveness. And as He spared the city of Nineveh, He spares us from our eternal destiny of being cast away forever. He spares us through His Son, Jesus, in whom we have forgiveness and the certainty of eternal life. Another thing we learn from this incident about Jonah is that God loves all people. Do we love all people? I don't think so. We tend to only love those who love us back. But that isn't what God wants to happen in our life. He wants us to love people who don't love us back. I remember the story about a woman whose husband went down to South America and did some mission work and was killed when he went there. Him and his friends were immediately killed by this tribe. And about 4 years later, she went down to that same tribe and was able to talk to the chief and told him that he had killed her husband, and he couldn't understand why she would come. And she said, I want you to know that God loves you and that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And he believed. And others came to faith. God loves us. He says to all sinners, as well as to us who are His children, for we do wander, He says, repent and turn from your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Why will you die? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord. So turn, that's repentance, and live. That's what God wants. He wants all of us to experience His forgiveness and His grace. And to live every day in the certainty that heaven is our home. Even though we don't deserve it, we can give Him praise and thanks for it. And then we also learn that God uses various means in order to see that His message gets out. You know, Jonah wanted to go another way, but God made sure that Jonah went to where he was supposed to go. Now, sometimes God uses means that we may not always want to agree with in order to get His message out, and means that we do not always understand. But He wants that message shared, a message that will change the lives of people. We need to learn to share Christ with people that we ride with our family members, with our friends, with maybe our bowling buddies or hunting buddies or fishing buddies, with the children in school. We don't want to go up and grab people and say, "Do you know Jesus is your Savior?" No. We approach them in love. No matter who they are, accept them because they are a creation of God, sinner though they be. And let them know that we love them and share with them what God has done for you, how He has saved you, the sinner, through Jesus. It's important that we share the message, and we don't know how God wants us to do it, in what position we are. It could be when we're in the midst of suffering. Well, 10 days ago, my sister, who really loves the Lord, she was in Bible study and at her church, and some of the ladies noticed that she was slurring her speech, and they thought she was having a stroke. And they urged her that she should go home. One of the ladies followed her to make sure, and she drove fine. But when she got home, the lady told her husband, "You need to take her to the doctor. We think she's having a stroke." But when they checked it out, it wasn't a stroke that she was having. They found a cancerous brain tumor on cancer, and they had surgery yesterday, and it went fine. They think they got it all, but as they did more checking, they found out she had cancer in her lungs, spots on her liver, lesions in her back, and stage 4 cancer. Doesn't sound good. But in talking to her on the phone, she said to me, "Yes," she had tears in her eyes. "We all want to live a long time and be with our families, don't we? God created us to live, not to die. But we know we have to face physical death, and one day that'll end too." But anyway, she told me, she said, "Even though I'm here, I don't understand why God is letting this happen. But," she says, "you know, I've been able to share Jesus with the nurses and with the doctors. And, you know, just what a wonderful experience," she said, "that's been." And she says her family have walked away from the Lord. And she says, "And I'm praying that God will use this to help them to really become back to Jesus. Because more than anything in life that we should want for a person is that they die in the Lord and not apart from Him." When I was in Kearney, Nebraska, I was in an evangelism group. And there was one man from North Platte, Nebraska, who had become very involved in evangelism. And he said the reason he became very involved in evangelism, starting to talk to people about Jesus, he said his very, very best friend, who was not a Christian, just suddenly died. And he said, "I never ever talked to him about Jesus, and I know he did not go to heaven." And how can he know unless they hear? The Bible tells us we got to speak the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the message. No one can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. And so we need to speak the message. And God knew Nineveh would keep living in sin and turning from Him. And no matter how bad things get, if He can turn a city of Nineveh, which was involved in sexual immorality, worship of false gods, being cruel and mean and all of those terrible things, he can change a nation. But it can only happen as we share the message. You and I are not the message. We are just the messengers. We are the seed planters. And God will bring in the crop. What a wonderful and a gracious God we have, who loves each and every one of us. And you and I have been privileged since we were baptized into Christ to be God's people. For in baptism, He claimed us as His children. Our sins were washed away by the blood of Jesus. And He says, now, my children, I want you to go out and tell those people who are dead in their sins that there's hope for them. Jesus is their hope. And we sing that, don't we, when we sing, my hope is in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world, He has given us His Son. Amen.